Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am remembered of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Where are you going? Come back here and fight me! Or I'll find you wherever you are, do you hear me? Bad form, Peter! Come back!
You need a mother very, very badly!
Well, Maggie is right. Captain Hook needed a mother very, very badly. And it's because somewhere along the road he took the wrong path. We know that Captain Hook lived out a life that was not according to what a good mother would have done. And he needed somebody to guide him. He needed someone to set him on the right track again. And I guess all of us need that kind of mother in our lives, somebody to nurture us, somebody to care for us, somebody to love us, somebody to discipline us, to set the example for us in life. Someone who has that nurturing instinct that God places in us as human beings and is willing to share that nurture with us. That's the joy that we have experienced through our mothers, through our fathers, through all of those who have decided that they were going to partake in that duty of nurturing us. You know, in England, the equivalent of our Mother's Day is called Mothering Sunday. It happens in the middle of the Lenten season. And actually, I like their name better because I don't believe that nurture is something that comes from biology. It is actually an act of love that comes to us and comes from us. And so I think the idea of mothering, rather than just being a mother, anybody can be a mother, it's a biological thing, not necessarily a choice thing. I do think mothering is a choice that we make in our lives to say that I am going to nurture somebody. And nurture is that self-giving love that is willing to sacrifice for the good of another person. When we go about living our lives in that sacrificial kind of way, we find ourselves living the life that Christ provided for us as an example, as a way to live out life, and as a way that we as human beings can be a part of the work of God and through our lives. And that may not be your biological mother. I mean, honestly, for a lot of folks, Mother's Day is a very difficult day because their biological mothers were not those that were able to care for and nurture. And so we struggle with how it is that we honor them and celebrate their presence. For others, their mothers were very nurturing, very caring, but they have passed away. And so this is a time of not just remembering how wonderful our mothers were for us, but also a time of grief. And then, of course, those who long to be mothers and have not been able to be mothers, finding that opportunity to nurture in other ways. It is a difficult Sunday, and I think for a lot of folks it is like for me. I mean, my mother's 100 years old. I'll go from here and go down to Dallas and celebrate with my sisters and family my mother and how she's cared for me and loved me and been such a wonderful person for me. But on the other hand, I think that we do have to recognize that for some, Mother's Day is a difficult day. So we're going to be looking at nurture today, and not just in that biological sense, but also how it is that we can be a part of the nurturing love of Christ, how it is that we can be thankful for those who have nurtured and cared for us, those mothers and fathers and men and women and all of those who have taken on the task of nurturing. And I have to tell you, I've really been lucky. I have had a wonderful mother. You've heard about her over and over again. But I've had a lot of moms. I mean, when I was born, my sisters were 12 years old and 9 years old, and so it was like when I was born, I had 3 mothers, and my sisters still mother me much more than I wish they would. But I had all of them. I also, my next-door neighbors, growing up when I was When I was little, Ray and Eunice Wright, they lived next to us. They were wonderful, nurturing people. They were like my unrelated grandparents. And then down the block was Betty Cohn, and there was Bonnie Sheridan. And then in school, I had some wonderful teachers. I had Merle Harris, and I had Mrs. Swetman. That both of them were just ones that come to mind, that had that nurturing ability, even though they were trying to teach me math, which was a losing cause. They loved me through it as well. And then those Sunday school teachers, like Alita Sharp, who was one of my Sunday school teachers throughout the years, kind of kept coming back and was my Sunday school teacher over a lot of my elementary years. And then Joe Thornton, who was one of my Sunday school teachers as a youth and ended up being the best man in my wedding. And so I've had a lot of those who have cared for me, and those are the ones who have brought you this wonderful person. They're the ones who built my self-esteem much greater than it really ought to be built. But think about those folks. Think about those people that brought you into the world, brought you and helped you become the wonderful person that you are. That's really what Mother's Day is all about. It's really about honoring those, thinking about them, not forgetting them, but giving the world this wonderful person that you have become. I think about the nurturer in life, and I think about those women, particularly in my life, but all those who have nurtured me, that have taken on a challenge that I think is in the Bible, and I think we find that challenge in the lives of Mary and Martha. I don't know if you remember that scripture, but Mary and Martha were Lazarus' sisters. They lived in Bethany, and they were some of Jesus' best friends. And there's a story in the Bible that talks about how Martha was always busy when Jesus would come, always busy serving him, making sure he had everything that he needed, was always in the kitchen cooking, always preparing the next meal. And there was Mary who was always at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he would say and listening to what he would teach. And I think that in that scripture, what we finally realize is that there's a wonderful balance of life between sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from the love that Jesus provides for us, and then going out and serving in that way. I think that the balance between Mary and Martha is the balance that we're challenged with. How it is that we are going to learn how to love from the one who is love itself, and then to go about loving others in the way that we do sacrificially and selflessly throughout our lives. In the scripture that Steve read to you a few moments ago, the scripture that comes out of 2 Timothy, that reminds us about two women in Timothy's life, his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois. And Timothy was one of Paul's closest comrades in ministry. He joined him on several of his missionary journeys. Paul had a great affection for Timothy. And Timothy grew up in the Greek area of the Holy Lands, where really he had very little contact other than his mother and grandmother, who were Jewish with the faith, and his mother and grandmother eventually became Christians. But you think about all of the opportunities that Timothy had outside of the Jewish faith and the Christian faith to follow the Greek gods. His father was a Greek. His mother and his grandmother were both Jewish and Christian, and they were the ones that set the agenda for him. They were the ones who set that kind of life there for him. They were the ones who grew him up with the scriptures. They were the one who allowed him to sit at the feet of Jesus so that he could grow in the way of love. I love the scripture that comes out of Deuteronomy, because I know that this is what Lois and Eunice gave their lives to, and why Timothy was able to grow up to be the kind of man that he was. It says, "You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors. This is a scripture that says, live out the life of the scriptures. And make your part of your children's lives and of your family's life and of your household's lives, that you are going to make sure that you place before them that kind of loving presence that is the scriptures. Always remember that what it is that you are doing in your households is to set the agenda for those that are growing up. You are setting their lives up for love and compassion and success, for offering them to the world as this wonderful person that you have helped to create. I think that for Lois and for Eunice, it was important for them to share the faith with their son Timothy, and it was that faith that kept him strong as he grew up in this community that had all sorts of other options for him to live. As it says in Proverbs, train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. I think that's what kept Timothy strong. They trained him in the right way. They gave him what he needed in his life, and that's what kept him strong throughout his life. There's a quote that I read this last week that the author is unknown, but it says, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. Boy, I tell you, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? That mothers, those who nurture us, write on the hearts of their children something that the difficulty and the hurt and the pains of the world simply can't erase that. That it is an empowerment for them in life that keeps them going, that enables them to continue on in life. And that's what I think is so important. This fifth verse in 2 Timothy says, I am reminded, this is Paul talking to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Can you hear those words that Timothy was hearing? I see, says Paul, your faith, and I know, I see it as the same faith that I saw in your grandmother and your mother, and now I see it in you. What greater compliment can you receive as a parent? What greater compliment can you receive as a teacher? What greater compliment can you receive as a human being than to say, I was able to see your mother's faith or your father's faith in you, your friend's faith or your teacher's faith or your Sunday school teacher's faith in you. I was able to see something special in you, and I know that that came from somebody else. It didn't just crop up magically in your life. It was something that happened that you learned from somebody else. That's the kind of power we have as people who love one another, who care for one another, who nurture one another, and taking on the responsibility to that challenge that is there for us in the story of Mary and Martha, the same challenge that's there for us in this story from 2 Timothy. I do believe that Eunice and Lois took on that Mary and Martha challenge, and that is why it was that Timothy grew up to be the kind of person that he was. And I can tell you, my mom was that kind of mom. That was the kind of world that I lived in. You can see in me the faith of my mother and my father, of my sisters, of both Sunday school teachers, of those neighbors that I talked about a few moments ago. The reason that I'm up here, the reason that I'm able to share with you some of the things that are important for me and my faith are because of those folks. Though that's the reason that I'm able to be here. And I hope that you recognize that there are people around you that are enabling you to do that same kind of thing, and that you are now in that place of responsibility in the lives of others. I learned from my mom how to be a strong person. I saw my mom when my dad died without a job, without knowing what she was going to do, without ever having a job in her life. She took on a new responsibility of how she was going to live a strong life in front of her 15-year-old son that would be an inspiration to me throughout my life. And I continue to tell mom how important that's been to me. I've told you about my mother's hopefulness, her positive attitude toward life, her optimism. I've told you before the story about a few years ago when mom was in the hospital. It was a terrible stay. I mean, she had tests done that were awful tests, and she had not gotten really cared for in the hospital like I would have wanted her to be cared for. And yet, when she was leaving the hospital, I am carting her out in the wheelchair, and she looks up at me and looks behind her, and she says, "Didn't we have a good time? Wasn't this a wonderful time?" "No, Mother, it was horrible. It was awful. Where were you?" But Mom was able in every situation of her life to see that in a positive sense and to see the good that was there. And let me tell you, the stuff that's gone on in my life over the last several months, that I tell my mother, in fact, she said, "Are you happy? Are you doing okay?" And I said, "Mom, yes, and the reason is because you taught me to do that. That in whatever situation in life, I can look at life in a different way because I saw you do it." My mother taught me how to do that. The reason that my ego is better than it should be is because my mom learned that into me. She taught me over and over again that I'm a good person, I'm a strong person, I'm better than even that I am. I'm loved far beyond what I think that I ought to be loved. You know, it's an amazing thing. The power of grace and love and nurture and what that does for us. And I want you to think who it is that did that for you. Who is the mama of your life? Who is it that has taken on that responsibility of nurture? Be thankful for those folks. Say thank you to God for those who have taken on that Mary and Martha challenge in their lives, that have shared the faith with you, that make you the wonderful human being that you are. And ask yourself the question, am I really ready now to take on a new commitment? To really understand that my life can make a difference in somebody else's life, that my life truly can make a difference for somebody else in the way that I nurture them, the way that I care for them, the way that I am going to sit at the feet of Jesus and then serve Jesus in everything that I do. These are the things that make this day special. These are the things that make this day unique. It is the mothering of those around us. Because let me tell you, everybody needs a mother. Everybody needs a mother very, very badly.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.